at 88.1.
Hello, and welcome to the Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast, where Reverend Roger L. Green, Sr. is the pastor. This broadcast is designed to be a blessing and life changer for you and your family. Listen now as Reverend Green takes you through the Word of God.
As I stand, we ask you to speak to me and speak through me. That your Word will go forth. That your Word will accomplish its purpose. Thank you for this resurrection morning, the time when we celebrate the sealing of our salvation. Father, as we leave this place and go to our various homes, let us dare not forget it is you that made all this possible. We thank you. In Christ's name and for his sake we pray. Amen. The gospel according to St. Luke. The gospel according to St. Luke chapter 24. Let's give these ministers of music and this choir a hand. Thank you, Brother Charles Jones. Appreciate that, man. Beautiful. Beautiful. See our former pianist back there, Beethoven. Good to see you, Nicholas. Amen. God bless you. Luke 24, commencing at verse 13. And behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. God bless you. We don't use for a thought, you're not on the road alone. Thank you, Ursus. You are not on the road alone. I'm quite sure you can agree with me this morning that life can present many roads. You and I have traveled on various roads as we went through life. Roads of sorrow. Roads of loneliness. Roads of isolation. Roads of brokenness. Heartbreak, setbacks, backsets. Roads of bewilderment, roads of death, roads of sickness. And on these roads, we find ourselves feeling that we have been abandoned, feeling that we are all alone. Even Satan tries to convince us that the Lord has walked away from us. But can I be honest with you? Oftentimes we end up on roads that is not pleasing to God, but it's no one's fault but our own. We got to stop blaming the preacher and stop blaming the church folk for the roads that we're traveling. Some of the decisions and some of the places that you find yourself in, situations that you find yourself in, you walk dead in them. But aren't you glad this morning that you serve a God that even though you walked on the road, got in the situation, he's still there to rescue and bring you out? Can I just talk to a few people this morning that would testify, say, yeah, preacher, I'm not going to blame the church. I'm not going to blame law enforcement. I'm not going to blame the political world. I made this mistake. I made the wrong decisions. I made wrong choices. But in spite of it all, God still had mercy on me. Now, this may not be a church full of people that feel this way. It may be a small group, but I can tell you what, I'm in that group. I've made some decisions that God wasn't pleased with. I done walked on some roads that God frowned on. I done said things that God didn't like. But at the end of the day, he still had mercy on. Can I get that small group to testify this morning and to say thank you? But I come to tell you, regardless of what road you ended up on, Jesus is right there to walk with you. Here it is on this resurrection morning where these disciples who were traveling from Jerusalem to on this Emmaus road, 60 furlongs, it was a 7-mile walk. And they were supposed to be rejoicing because at this time it is resurrection morning. The tomb have already been found empty. The stone had already been rolled away. The angel had already spoke to the women and said, he's not here, but he has risen. Everybody went to the entrance of the tomb and took a peek. But old Peter went a little further. He said, while y'all on the outside looking in, I'm finna go in the inside and look out. He walks in the tomb. And when Peter walks in the tomb, he finds the grave clothes balled up and thrown to one side. But then when he looked to the right, he saw a napkin that was folded neatly and placed there. Wait a minute, Mount Zion. This is the third Sunday, the third morning. This is the morning where our salvation is sealed. He raises by the power of God, takes off the grave clothes, ball them up, and throw them to the left. But before he steps out of the tomb to declare all power, he takes his time, gets a napkin, folds that napkin neatly, and places it there. He did that because he knew Peter was going to go all the way on the inside. And see, now you got the study Jewish culture. Because in Jewish culture, when a king was eating, a servant would stand right by him. And while the king is eating, the servant is not to move. And if the king finishes his meal, he balls up his napkin and throws it on the plate. And when he gets up from the table, the servant knows it is time to take the king's plate and get it clean. But if the king's meal is interrupted before he finishes, he takes his napkin, he folds the napkin, put it on the plate. Although he gets up, he tells the servant, I'm gone, but I'm coming back again. I wish I had somebody to testify. When he folded the napkin, when Peter saw it, it was an indication. Jesus said, I done caught up, I'm gone, and I'm coming back. Not to the grave. This is over. This is completed. I'm going to heaven, but I'm coming back again. I wish I had somebody to just rejoice on the fact that he's coming back again. Here it is, a few years ago, we couldn't even assemble like this. You were at home watching church on TV while you had many funerals and loved ones, but here it is. God then blessed you to assemble in his house, and I wish I had somebody can testify that I thank God that I'm still alive and well. I could have been dead, sleeping in my grave. They could have had my funeral, my loved ones fighting over my possessions, but here I am. Here they were walking on this road to a village called Emmaus from Jerusalem, 7-mile walk. the morning that they should have been rejoicing, their minds were in the wrong direction. And oh, my brothers and sisters, I hope, I pray to God this morning that you didn't spend too much time in the beauty shop till it hindered your praise. I hope you didn't spend too much money on your makeup that you don't want to give God what you owe him. Maybe you need to come to church with nappy hair if it's hindering your praise. Go on, pull it off and just go on. I wish I had somebody. God's been too good to us. And I know we have, before I move on, I know we have the group that says, Reverend, it doesn't take all of this to praise God. Well, I beg to differ. Because the Bible says, make a joyful, let the redeem of the Lord. Now you holler everywhere else. When you go to the football game and your team win, you're hollering, jumping all up with your slits in your hand. And then you was at the casino last week and you won the machine, bing, bing, and you, woo! You went to the liquor store hoping when nobody looking at you, bought you a ticket and all three numbers matched, and you, woo! But when I say Jesus, it don't take all of that. Wasn't no casino washed over you last night. Wasn't no ticket that healed your body. Wasn't no money and gambling that took you through COVID and you're still alive. It was nobody but Jesus. Now, when I say Jesus, somebody needs to respond, Jesus. Jesus. Now, however you respond, that's up to you. But when I say Jesus, there should be some kind of response. They were on the road. They're hurting because the Messiah that they wished and hoped and prayed for, the last time they saw him, he was dying on a cross. Now you have to look at their hearts. They have been waiting on the coming of the Messiah for a long time. And they finally, their hopes were finally built to the point to say, he is here. But when they saw him on the cross, bleeding like any ordinary man, saw him give up the ghost, they walked away, going back to Emmaus, leaving Jerusalem with Jesus dying on the cross. Y'all missed it. It went over your head. They left Jerusalem. They were left there with Jesus dying on the cross, but they didn't stay three more days. In other words, they left with half the story. They left believing what they saw. And if they would have hung in there, they would have saw God working a miracle. And what's wrong with a lot of us, we take half the story and just run with it. But you need to hang in there just a little while longer. Yeah, you've been sick, but that's just half the story. Yeah, you've been broke, that's been half the story. But can I get somebody to testify and say, you could have stuck around me a little while longer. You left me when I was broke, but you didn't stay when God made a way out of no way. You left me when I was sick and the doctor had gave up on me. You left me to go write up my obituary, but you didn't stay when God blessed me and added 15 more years. Don't take half the story. Just hang around. They were walking a 7-mile walk, and when you're engaged in negative conversation, it makes the walk longer. They were engaged in negative conversation. They were engaged in heartbroken conversations. And do you know anybody that's always negative? No matter how many positive things are happening, they're gonna always find the negative.
Church was good today.
Yeah, but it was a little too long.
Oh, didn't that choir sing?
Yeah, but they could have cut it off.
Because birds of a feather flock together. And when you find negative folk will attract other negative folk because they're associated by the same mutual defects. But then you got that group that's going to praise God in spite of how they look, in spite of how they feel, in spite of what people say. They're going to praise God. And I wish I had some of those people right now. I don't care if it's Easter Sunday. I don't care how much money I've spent on this outfit, this hair, this makeup. God, you've been good to me. You've been good to me. And I just want to tell somebody he's been that good. They were upset because the Messiah that they wished for and hoped for died on the cross. The man who would radically change their lives. They saw his humiliating death. But as they were walking, disgusted, bewildered, and hurt, the Bible says Jesus himself showed up. Jesus began to show up while they were engaged in a conversation with partial information. Jesus began to walk. And from Dearborn, before he said anything, he began to listen. And they were steadily talking. They believed only half of the story. They were steadily talking about what has happened. But then look at Christ. Jesus says in verse 17, he said, why y'all walking and talking like this? Why are y'all sad? And they said, you don't know what happened. You haven't heard what happened to Jesus of Nazareth. How they crucified him, how they beat him, and how they hung him on the cross. You didn't hear about these things. Jesus said, what things? How they treated Jesus. Y'all ready for this? They talking to Jesus about Jesus and didn't know that was Jesus that was they were talking to. Let me say it again. They were talking to Jesus about Jesus and didn't know it was Jesus who they were talking to. Yeah. See, it's one thing to know about him, but it's one thing to know him. Yeah. And see, to really know him, you got to get intimate with him. And see, I love Jesus. But see, a lot of you don't love Jesus. You got a crush on him. And if you got a crush on him, when you have a crush on someone, it's a song that will sing. It'll make you think about him. Oh. But see, when you truly love him, you don't have to be cheerleaded into giving praise. When you really love him, you're going to love those that despitefully use you. So Jesus, as he walks along, he begins to listen and he begins to hear their hurt and hear their pain. But watch this. Jesus, in verse 25, he says this. He says, O fool, slow to believe what all the prophets have not spoken. Then he says, are not Christ to have suffered these things and entered into his glory? The Bible talks about he began to share scriptures with them. Yeah. Now watch this. When Jesus is on the road, the first thing he would do, he would change your connection. He will change what you are connected to that is causing your sadness. And to change that, he began to refer to scriptures concerning himself. I believe that he shared Isaiah 50 and 6, that he gave his back to the smithers, to his cheeks, and he plucked out his hair and did not hit his face and shamed and spit him. But then I think he shared another scripture with him, Isaiah 53:5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. He was, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. But see, one thing you need to understand, Mount Zion, human knowledge must be understood and then believed. But divine knowledge must be believed and then understood. And he said all of that about the Son of Man must suffer, die, and on the third day be resurrected. It was all prophecy. And you mean to tell me you are disciples walking sad and don't believe that God can keep his word? How many believe God can be trusted? How many believe that God will keep his word? How many believe that if you call on him in a day of trouble, that he will deliver you? How many believe that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want? How many believe that if I lift up my hands in the sanctuary, that God will? How many say, I'm going to bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth? When you do that, God will change your connection. And to change your connection, y'all ready? Sometimes he has to change who you connected to. There are some people in your life should be like a telephone bill. It needs to be disconnected. There are some people in your life that you just need to walk away from and don't look back. Now, can I talk to another group? Can I talk to a group that have already done it and glad you did it and was sad you didn't do it earlier? Oh, my brothers and sisters. He will change what you are connected to. But then let's go a little further, lest I hold you too long. I know your Easter dinner is warming. Your stomach may be growling, but this is resurrection day. Watch this. Look at verse 28. And they drew near to a village where they went, and he made as though that he would go a little further. But then they constrained him. They told him, oh, no, this thing ain't getting too good to end it now. Why don't you stay with us a little while longer? Not only would he change your connection, but then secondly, he'll change your condition. Because now Jesus is beginning to change the narrative. At first they were talking about this and that, but now they are ready to hang in there with him a little while longer. Have you ever been with Christ or in church and that thing was getting so good you didn't want it to end? I done been in church when church was over, Benedict's people still hanging around. I done seen my pro pastor Donnie Grandma hit the lights and say, y'all ain't got to go home, but you can't stay here. They were having a good time because now they were moving up from where they once were. Just a little talk with Jesus will make everything all right. They were moving up from where they once were when they first started walking. And just a few steps with Christ, they have elevated from where they once were. And that's what bothers me about conditions, because when you meet Christ, you should change somewhere. And it disturbs me, Brother West, that people that say that they've been in Christ for 40 years and you still raise just as much hell as you did 40 years ago. You still act just like you act 40 years ago. But then the Bible said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all your condition should have changed. They didn't want it to end because they were moving up. One of my favorite sitcoms in the 70s was The Jeffersons. George Jefferson was a crude, rude businessman. If he didn't like what you had to say, he'll slam the door in your face. But many people didn't know that that was a spinoff to All in the Family. That the Jeffersons had a frequent role on All in the Family. They were neighbors to them in that sitcom. But Charles kept working until he was able to own his own cleaning chain. And from that, they began to move on up. Oh, I can still remember watching the Jeffersons as they would come on. Fish don't fry in the kitchen. Beans don't burn on the grill. Took a whole lot of trying just to get up this hill. Now we are up in the big league. Getting our turn at back. As long as we live, it's you and me, baby. Ain't nothing wrong with that. We are. Oh, yeah. When your condition changes, you move up from where you once were. At first, they were walking. They were sad. But now, since Jesus has talked with them a while, they're saying, don't leave us. Stay with us. And so, after he changed what they were connected to, after he changed their condition, but then thirdly, now he's going to change their conversation. Jesus now changes the narrative. But what you are connected to determines what you see. And he did something before them, what he had done before. In verse 30, the Bible says that when they sat, he broke bread. He blessed it. In verse 30, he broke bread. Y'all got it? He blessed it. Hear me good. He broke bread and he blessed it. Let me say it one more time for the divine spiritually hearing impaired. He broke bread and he blessed it. Here's your praise cue. This wasn't the first time he did that. Why are you worried about what you're going to face? This ain't the first time you faced a situation and God brought you through. He did something before them that they had saw him do before. He broke bread in the upper room of Jerusalem before the crucifixion. And after the resurrection, he broke bread again. And when he began to do what he's always done, and they begin to recognize, wait a minute, this is Jesus. He's right here with us. How many can testify that you've been through things, you felt abandoned, but then God began to work on you, and you say, wait a minute, he hasn't gone anywhere. He's still here. And they said in verse 31, their eyes became open, and they recognized that it was Jesus. And they said, did not our heart burn within? Because once they recognized Jesus disappeared from them, and they said, did not our heart burn within? Now the conversation has changed. When we first encountered these two men, they were sad and they were upset. But now, since they have talked with the resurrected Lord, they said, did not our heart burn within as he talked with us along the way? And now they're saying, we going back to Jerusalem. We going back and tell folks we done saw the resurrected Lord. We going back to Jerusalem. And we going to tell them we saw the resurrected Lord. Let me say it one more time. We going back to Jerusalem and tell them that we saw the resurrected Lord. When we left Jerusalem, they saw us one way. But when we talk with Jesus, they going to see us a different way. Now, here it is. Here's your praise cue. Y'all ready? If you don't shout on this like Rum Dearborn say, your wood is wet. Watch this here. Watch this. They are getting ready to walk on the same road, but with a different attitude. They are getting ready to walk on the same road, but with a different perspective. They are getting ready to walk on the same road, but a more joy in their heart. How many can testify that Christ came along and walked on that road with you, and God began to talk with you? He began to commune with you. He began to lift you. He began to exalt you. He began to bless you. He began to love you. He began to give you grace. He began to give you mercy. He gave you forgiveness. He gave you all of these things. And when you walked that road again, you didn't walk it with your head hung down. You walk it with your head up. You didn't walk it with your arms folded. You walked it with your arms in the air and said, "He's been good to me." Wave your hand in the air like you just don't care. When they went back, they said, "He's here. He's here. We are the evidence that he's here."